Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stay tuned. We've got a special program today, and when we think of the things that are happening in the world around us today, not just on the political scene, but internationally, and fears about the coronavirus and different things that are happening in the world. We are going to have a special guest joining us on the telephone today, Gary Ka, who's going to be talking about some of these things and coming one world government plans and the unification of the world's religions into one. And we will be joining up with him in just a moment here on the telephone. But in the meanwhile, let's open with the word of prayer and make a couple announcements, and we'll get into our program here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just ask, Lord, that you would bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to somebody. Help us to encourage people through the things that we talk about. The goal is not to make people afraid, but to educate and to motivate people, Lord, to turn to you. So, Father, bless the program for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you today. And if you're watching us on YouTube, I'm a little more dressed up than usual. I just ran over from across the street the 2020 Bringing America Back to Life convention or conference. It's one of the largest pro-life conferences in America, and it is going on at the Embassy Suites here in Independence, Ohio. And you can go online, bringamericabacktolife.org. You can find out more about that. And they've got a number of things scheduled yet for today, and they've got a full day of activities tomorrow, and you can still sign up online, bringamericabacktolife.org, and that way you can take advantage. You can check out the program, see some of the speakers and all that are on there. Some of our listeners are familiar with Bill Federer, author, prolific author, many books on Christian liberties and history of government and our country and God's action in our country's past, and he's going to be speaking there at 2 o'clock, or I'm sorry, 2:30 this afternoon as well. So pray for the event that's over there. And also remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you'll go there, you can find us, and you can link to our Facebook page, and we'll be streaming our YouTube broadcast over on our Facebook page as we get all that sent over there as well. But we are on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. So we'll be having that stuff over there as well. But I want to get straight over to our guest. We have Gary Ka and also Dan Hermata, formerly of ACT Cleveland, now the Red Green Axis Exposed. And Dan and Gary, welcome to the program today.
Pastor Al.
Hi, good afternoon. And I think we've got Dan on here as well.
Yep, I'm here.
There you are. Good. Make sure everybody's set. And good to have both of you gentlemen with us today. And Gary, you're going to be speaking here in northeastern Ohio on Monday evening, aren't you?
That's right. Yeah, Monday evening, this coming Monday evening at the Brecksville Community Center. And the doors open at 6. The meeting starts at 7. But you do have to pre-register to get in, and so you would need to send an email over to Dan at rga@eaglefiremail.com. That's rga@eaglefiremail.com if you're interested in coming. And then also, real quick, Sunday morning, March 8th at 10:30. I will be speaking at the church at Warren, which is in Cortland, Ohio, on Hoagland Black Stub Road. That's a mouthful, but it's Hoagland Black Stub Road, church at Warren in Cortland, Ohio, and that's at 10:30 Sunday morning.
Well, that's great, and it gives an opportunity for people to hear you. And, of course, you've been on some of the local programming as well this past week, and so trying to get you exposed to Northeastern Ohio audience here. Dan, did you want to add anything as well with the meeting on Monday?
No, I think Gary handled it perfectly. In fact, I'm going to give him a job application to help us. And get the same pay that we get.
There, yeah. Hey, I thought he was your friend. Wait a minute here.
No, I am so looking forward to Monday night. Pastor Dave Nadel had approached me back in the fall, and earlier than that, I had seen Gary or listened to him actually on a podcast with Jan Markell, and I thought, you know, this just makes too much sense. All the people that have crossed, you know, that we've brought to Northeast Ohio via the web conferences or the online meetings, you know, Brandon House, Jerome Hadian, Alex Newman, you name it, Patrick Wood, everything that we've been talking about, the red-green axis and the whole reason we made the name change and allowed to be religious, allowed to be political. This is where I think this needed to go. And I was like, can we host Gary? And I said, absolutely, it's the perfect time to have him.
Well, I'm glad you're doing that, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to have Gary on the radio with me today. And I know we're you know, just don't have a limited amount of time, so I wanted to kind of dive into some things. And Gary, as I said, welcome to the program. And if you would introduce yourself to our audience, I'd appreciate that.
Well, I was actually born and raised in the Kettering, Ohio area, mm-hmm. So I am a native Buckeye. I was the son of European immigrants. My father fled from the Nazis and communists in Croatia as a 12-year-old boy. My mother grew up under Hitler with a father who was very outspoken against Hitler, to the point where on one occasion the secret police showed up in their little village of 300 looking for my grandpa. And had it not been for the fact that the local mayor of that little town was a family friend and gave my grandpa a heads up, they probably would have gotten him, but he actually hid out in the forest for a few days till the coast was clear. But anyway, that's what my parents went through. And so growing up in Ohio, when we'd have family gatherings with cousins of theirs and so forth, I would hear of what they went through during World War II. And I remember at a very young age becoming interested in international issues. And I remember watching the Huntley-Brinkley report with my dad in fifth grade, which I know that's not normal for a 10-year-old or 11-year-old. But
I did that sort of thing myself. So,
hey, I don't feel so isolated or alone then. That's great. And then I became a Christian during the summer after fifth grade. And that following school year, I remember sitting in my classroom and having our first history lesson, and we talked about World War II. And between what I learned there and what my parents had shared with me and everything, I remember sitting there and silently praying to the Lord, saying, God, if anything were to ever happen in this country, like what happened over there in Europe during World War II, I promise to you I will take a stand no matter the cost. And you know, people underestimate kids' prayers. I know. I really believe the Lord hears the sincere prayers of children. And of course, at that time, I never thought that God would take me up on something like that. But I did mean it. Well, fast forward many years later, I ended up working for the government of Indiana in the area of international trade promotion. And so I was their point man in Europe and the Middle East, traveling there, working hand-in-hand with our foreign embassies, our U.S. embassies overseas, to try to bring more business into Indiana, specifically to help stimulate our exports to create more jobs here at home. And so I got to know a lot of the people at the embassies very well. In fact, altogether, I traveled to, I think, 23 different countries during that time. And we would spend usually several days together working on projects, lining up meetings and whatnot. And so during times like that, you know, you have dinner together, and it's an automatic to talk about international economic developments because that's kind of the realm we were in. And then it's just one step further to talk about international politics, and sometimes we'd get into religion and the religious motivations behind certain agendas. And it was during that time, working for the government of Indiana and traveling overseas, that I first began to hear talk about this push toward one government over the entire world. And it was coming from some of the people at the embassies, as well as various international business figures that I met with. And in a nutshell, a lot of these people, you know, I don't know their true motivation. Only God knows their heart. But based on what was shared, the thinking was something like this. Just think, if we have a world government, countries won't be able to fight each other anymore. We'll have one, you know, we'll have world peace. And also, it'll help bring about a new economic situation in the world, replace the current economic system that is going to break down and that is severely flawed. We'll be able to feed the world's hungry. We'll be able to solve the environmental crisis, you know, so on and so forth. In other words, they viewed a world government as the cure-all to virtually every problem out there. And as I gathered this information and was in some of these meetings, and then eventually I was actually invited to join two organizations that were involved in promoting this agenda. And that's a whole other story. That would take about an hour to go into all that. But so I began collecting documents on the stationery of these organizations talking about what they were doing and becoming very concerned about this trend toward a world government. And the thing that bothered me the most is that consistently the people who were in favor of this were not very fond of Bible-believing Christians. They disliked conservative Jews, and they really, I think you would go so far as saying they hated Israel. And that threw up all kinds of flags, especially with my background and what my parents went through in World War II. So I picked up on all this fairly quickly and then just began researching it and put it all together, left my job to write a book, and it came out in late 1991, early 1992, and became a Christian bestseller for a time. And back in the day, Al, I was on A Point of View out of Dallas with Marlon Maddox, and Beverly LeHay's mm-hmm. program out of Washington with Concerned Women for America, and lots of other ones, and kind of became a regular commentator on these events. But back then, this was all going on behind the scenes. Today, it has increasingly come out into the open, I think partly because the people pushing this one-world agenda, who come from a socialist bent, actually, they absolutely can't stand President Trump and what he is doing. He's been working to undo their globalist agenda, and so their hatred for him has drawn them out of the woodwork. So it's brought all of this to the surface, and now at least we as Christians kind of understand better what we're dealing with and how very real this socialist movement is and how large it's grown. So I became aware of this way back in the 80s, and so it's been at least 35 years in the making that I've been aware of, and now it's more and more becoming public.
And the book that you wrote, the first book that you wrote is?
En Route to Global Occupation. That was, by the way, not my title. That's the title the publisher went with, but I'm okay with it. It got a lot of people interested in the book, and in case you're wondering, my working title for the book was The Coming World Crisis, and that ended up being the title of the final chapter in that book, En Route to Global Occupation, because I think that's what we're ultimately headed toward. In large part because the globalists who are promoting this agenda really want to fuel the fire. Every problem there is in the world, they want to make it appear even worse than it is, hoping that this will finally convince people to buy into the idea of a world government. Because if everything is going pretty well as it is, there's no reason for such a drastic change. And so if there's, well, think about it. World War One led to the forming of the League of Nations afterwards in the name of bringing about world peace. That was kind of the first small step toward world government. Then after World War II, we had the forming of the United Nations, which was a much bigger step toward a global system of government. And the UN today is still seeking more power and control to ultimately become a full-blown world government if they can pull it off. Well, so it makes sense based on the trends and on history itself. If there's a third major global conflict, the thinking is it'll scare people to death to the point where they would be willing to embrace just about anything afterwards that can promise to protect them and usher in world peace. And so I personally believe there is going to be some type of crisis probably growing out of the Middle East. I don't know. But I'm a student of history, and history tends to repeat itself. So I think ultimately that's where we're headed. But thank the Lord. I'm a Christian. You're a Christian. We know who we believe and why we believe in him. And so ultimately, eternally speaking, I have no fear. I know that no matter what happens in this world, no matter how difficult things get, the Lord is in control, and he has the final say, and we'll be spending eternity with him. And one of my favorite passages of Scripture is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And in 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul said, fight the good fight of the faith. And he was able to do that because he didn't have the kind of fear that would come to most people who were up against the kinds of things that he was up against. So I thank the Lord for the peace that passes all understanding that we can have in the midst of all these changes going on around us.
And that's absolutely true. And what you're talking about the third conflict, I without getting into all the details, I had put together a booklet some years ago entitled The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, and it was subtitled something to the effect of paving the way for the coming or the rise of the Antichrist, meaning the coming world leader. And I was basing that somewhat on Psalm 83 and some other passages in Isaiah and Ezekiel and all of that. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of exactly what you were saying, another major conflict that if the Middle East erupted into flames, basically, this would really get the world's attention, would really affect the world. Like I said, I don't want to get too much into that little booklet. That was a few years ago. But using this type of a crisis to bring together a stronger world government, obviously there's going to have to be preparation that's laid in advance, because you're just not going to snap your fingers and bring this in. And we've talked about that in our program at our church quite a bit. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says in verse 3, talking about when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. And it's talking about child birth is preceded by the labor pains. And they don't, the lady just doesn't go into labor. She has a few cramps that gradually get more intense and more frequent. And if you're watching, and if we as Christians are watching, and we are called to watch, not to be in darkness, not to be sleeping, but to be watching, we see things that are happening. And in light of the news and everything, what are some of the major trends that you see happening right now that seem to be bring us in that direction?
Well, of course, the coronavirus, I believe, is being hyped to the hilt, because if enough people become over-the-top fearful, it will eventually affect the economy. And that's the one thing that President Trump has really going for him. You know, it's been such a strong economy, and that plays in his favor. So if you put yourself in the shoes of the socialists in the country, you'd see why they would have every reason and every motivation to try to really hype this and help bring down the economy. And I really believe that. I don't believe that these people are just kind of naively hyping it the way that they are. And I don't mean to diminish the importance of being prepared, because we need to be. But right from the get-go, this thing, well, you see what's happened in the stock market in the last few days. It's just taken a dive again today.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that could play into all of this. Hopefully not as much as it could. But what I want to comment on really is where much of the groundwork is being laid right now is with the world's religions.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pushers of this world government understand very well you cannot really have a global system of government come together without there being a degree of unification among the world's religions. And so they're really pushing interfaithism in a big way. and at the forefront of this, and people need to be aware of this, Pope Francis has really been pushing the interfaith agenda, really on every level. And just a couple of details here that I think would be worth noting. In early February of last year, 2019, Francis met with the world's best-known Muslim cleric, the Grand Imam Ahmed Al-Tayyib of Egypt. And together they talked about bringing about a summit on human fraternity. They proposed the United Nations World Day of Fraternity to the UN Secretary General. And then they laid out their ideas in a joint document that they drafted. Now, again, this is the top cleric of Islam and the top leader of the Roman Catholic Church together drafting this joint document titled Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. And during their time together, Pope Francis really warmly embraced Al-Tayyib, who previously has stated that Muslims who convert to Christianity should be executed. And the same Muslim leader dismissed the idea of human rights in the past as ticking time bombs while endorsing jihad suicide attacks against Jewish men, women, and children. He's been quite radical in the past and has endorsed a lot of radical agendas. Now, people can change. I realize that. But of all people for the Pope to be teaming up with and drafting this joint document, you know, that really throws up flags. But then just a few days after that meeting, Pope Francis addressed the World Government Summit in Dubai. That convened on February 10th to 12th of last year. And that was, in fact, the name of the summit, the World Government Summit. So again, much of this is becoming more and more blatant as there are more people in the world that have kind of warmed up to the idea. And I think some of these figures feel empowered and they're ready to move forward. So Pope Francis has come out and announced that on May 14th of this year, he will be introducing officially a global compact on education. And the ultimate purpose of this will be to pave the way for major global changes through education. And so we can be looking toward this. This is only 2 months away, and it's going to be international in scope. I have a friend in Italy who feeds me information. He's watching things closely, and they are already running ads coming out of the Vatican promoting all of this. And so once May rolls around, we'll probably see some of that over here in the United States. And then also last year, the Pope traveled to Bangkok, where he met with 18 leaders of various Eastern religions, again emphasizing his pursuit of a fraternity of religions. That's kind of the latest catchphrase that's indicating basically all religions are pathways to God, interfaithism, so forth. Now it's a fraternity of religions. So if people hear that term, they'll know what this is all about. So I want my Catholic friends to be aware of this. And not to be outdone, in the past, I have spoken out equally strongly on developments in Protestant circles. And much of that has been taking place through the various member denominations of the World Council of Churches. They've been putting many of these churches undue negative influence against Israel. You know, the boycott, divestiture push against Israel, and also a lot of them really pushing a socialist agenda when you analyze what some of these pastors increasingly are believing. So whether it's in Protestant circles or in Catholic circles, we need to be aware of this agenda and that it's going to be impacting all of us down the road. So this is a time for discernment, and that's not going to come about unless we really understand
right.
scope of what's going on and also yeah. know the Bible.
Right, and I'm going to have to interject because I hear our music starting there, so we've got less than a minute to go. And we've been speaking with Gary Ka today. And Gary, could you tell people how they can find out more, how they can follow what you're doing?
Yeah, I have a website. It's simply garyka.org, and that's garykah.org, and you can sign up for our research news journal. It's a subscription-based journal that we do, and get our other materials there.
Well, thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you Monday night in Brecksville. And we're out of time there, and I hope people follow up on this. This is important. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Dan. And thanks for listening today. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. In Richfield, Ohio. In Richfield, Ohio. In Richfield, Ohio.